On September the 11th, 2001, I was actually on holiday. Now, that seems in poor taste now. But I wasn't to know at the time. I didn't plan it. The holiday, I mean, not the... And I was actually in the city of Granada in southern Spain. It's an interesting place. It's kind of the last point of Muslim occupation of medieval Europe. And it's still a very mixed city. Lots of mosques, lots of churches, lots of white European Spaniards, Arab Spaniards, all getting on fine. And I was walking around there on 9-1-1, the 9th of November. Reclaim the calendar. And I went into this little Spanish bar, and on television there was all this film of buildings on fire and things falling down and people running around screaming. And I said to the barman, "Where's that?" In Spanish, "¿Dónde está?" And he said, "Nueva Eureka." And I thought, "Oh, it's in Colombia or somewhere, it doesn't matter." And then I watched for a bit longer and I realised that it was New York, where English-speaking people live, and therefore a terrible newsworthy tragedy. And I was standing there watching that in this bar, and then George Bush came on the television and he said, "We are going to get them folks what done this." And that annoyed me for two reasons. One, because it was a very poorly constructed sentence. And secondly, because you could already see the terrible cultural fallout of what this was going to mean. In this previously happy, very mixed bar, suddenly there was a real tension between the white European Spaniards and the Arab Spaniards, a tension of fear, a hostility. And after a while, I couldn't stand the tension anymore, so I went into the gents to do a wee. And while I was standing at the urinal doing a wee, this Arab guy came in and he stood next to me. But I didn't make eye contact with him because I was embarrassed about the wee. And also about the day's news events and how this was going to affect. I was worried about how it was going to affect our cultures for the future, so I didn't look at him. While I was standing there doing a wee, suddenly a little fart came out, right? But it was only a really tiny fart, you know, like kind of fart an otter might do. Or Simon Amstel. But it was a fart all the same, and the Arab guy heard it, right? And he looked across at me. And I looked back at him. And he laughed. And then I laughed. And I realised everything was going to be okay. Then I went back into the bar, out of the toilet, and the whole atmosphere had changed. The room had kind of split along racial, religious lines. Arab, Muslim, Spaniards one side of the room, white European Spaniards the other. A terrible tension in the room. And then Colin Powell came on television. We invented those names. His name is not Colin, it is Colin. He should be running a photocopier repair workshop. He came on television and he said, "We are going to launch a crusade against them folks what done this." And being in a largely Muslim city on the 9th of November, you realise what an inappropriate word crusade was to use. It went down really, you know, the whole city of Granada is full of murals of crusaders slaughtering Muslims, so it was received badly. And as a As a world statesman, Colin Powell should be aware of how words change their meaning culturally. Saying crusade on the 9th of November, it's a bit like if I were to get a job as a maths teacher teaching maths in a German town somewhere near Belsen, and I was to say to the kids, I'm going to set you a maths problem, I want you to work through it, and on the last page fill in your final solution. You know, it'd be received badly, but he'd said crusade, and it split the room. Or even this horrible tension was already even worse in the room. And then the guy that I'd been in the gents with, I'd had my kind of moment of epiphany of human trust with in the gents, he was sitting with a bunch of other Arab guys, and he looked across at me with these eyes full of hope for a better tomorrow, as if to say to me, what are we going to do, you know? And I didn't know what to do, right? I mean, I couldn't just do another fart at will. I'm not a 19th century French music hall entertainer. But I knew I had to do something. It was kind of my hour. So what I did was I just sort of lifted my leg up like that. And I kind of acted it out. I went, smell. Oh, God. And he laughed. The guys he was with laughed. Gradually the laughter spread all round the room. Eventually... eventually everyone in the room was laughing, and I realised that with that one inane, puerile gesture, I had achieved more for world peace than any politician's had all day. And the day after the 9th of November, which is the 9th of December, 912. I flew back from Spain to Heathrow, and I got a cab from Heathrow to Hackney in northeast London where I live. And on the way, I had to go past the Finsbury Park Mosque. It's about 5 minutes' walk from my house. And it was all kicking off outside, right? There's Muslims on one side of the street demonstrating against all the kind of reprisals they've received. Police in the middle, trying to keep order. And on the other side of the Seven Sisters Road, a whole bunch of British National Party skinhead thugs shouting out, send them back! Send the Muslims back to where they came from! Birmingham, Bradford, Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds, and other major British industrial cities which required cheap labour in the 70s and 80s. And it looked like there was going to be a full-scale religious race riot. So I said to the cab driver, stop. Let me out. I can help here. I got out of the cab and I pushed through British National Party thug lines, I pushed through the police lines, I pushed through the Muslim demonstrators. I ran into the mosque, some guy tried to get me to take my shoes off, I don't know what that was about, there wasn't time, I carried on through. It was a hospitable gesture, but there wasn't time. And I ran up the steps of the prayer tower to the minaret, where the call to prayer is broadcast out to the Muslim faithful of northeast London. And I snatched the little microphone out of the stand there, and I pulled down my pants, and with a supreme effort of mental and physical willpower, I farted into it. But on that occasion, it didn't really help. In fact, it may have made the situation worse.
We're good at drinking, that's the problem. Because we started at a young age, that's why we're good at it in this country. Last year, a 12-year-old girl was convicted of drink driving. That kind of thing makes you proud to be British, that is. It's completely true. I'll bring you up to speed if you don't know the story. It's Christmas Day. She stole her father's car keys, attempted to drive the 30 miles to Reading. She must have been drunk. She'd been sober, she'd have gone somewhere better. She's travelling at 70 miles an hour down country roads, clipping curbstones. Thank God the police stopped her before there was an accident. And I think you have to admire the British police force. They get a bad press, but I think they do a brilliant job. I mean, they make the occasional mistake, like shooting an innocent man 7 times in the head. But, no, with the head, 1 bullet's not really enough. It is the head. That's 3 bullets in his head, sir. Do you think that'll be enough? No, it is his head, remember, that you've hit him in there. I think you should put some more in just to be sure. You know, we can't be sure. 6 bullets in his head, sir. That's surely that'll be enough. No, it's the head. That's not going to work. The head is protected by a skull. If it was a leg, fair enough. 6. There will be more. You'll need more bullets. All right. I'll have to reload. Yeah, I think you should reload. That's 7. Sure, that's enough. Any more than that would be excessive. Should we ask him if he did anything now? Yeah, that would probably be a good idea now. So they make occasional mistakes. You know, that's why we all make mistakes. That's why pencils have erasers. But yeah, I do feel sorry for the police, though. That he who hasn't shot an innocent man 7 times in the head cast the first stone, you know. When I heard that news story, I thought, oh, there, but for the grace of God, go on. I think they do a great job, because they're presented with this girl, okay? She's clearly 12 years old. She's small for her age. She can barely see over the top of the steering wheel. She's driving recklessly, endangering lives. She's presumably uninsured. The police, though, they still had the wherewithal to say, you know what? I think we better breathalyze her as well. Just in case what we've got isn't quite enough to secure a conviction. I mean, she might have been drinking. She is 12. But this is the true life punchline to this story. This is completely true, this whole story. And you couldn't make this up. She was banned from driving for 2 years. That girl can't get back behind the steering wheel of a car till she's 15. So nearly 5 years have passed since that terrible day of death and destruction in New York. With all that's happened, it's easy to forget. At the time, the world was very sympathetic to the Americans. I think that compassion made the British people go along with stuff that, in hindsight, we shouldn't have done. I think we all agree. We all know what I'm talking about. We really should have called that day 11-9. At the time, it would have seemed a bit insensitive to bring it up. I feel quite strongly about it. I'm quite insistent. Even when I meet someone who says it's quite sad my husband died in 9/11, I say, no, he didn't. I think it's important to stick up for your principles, no matter how clearly wrong they are. There are some conspiracy theorists who believe George Bush flew those planes into the World Trade Center in order to get Britain to accept the American calendar. You know, it's me mainly at the moment, but I'm trying to convince, you know, because we're going to change over. It's the beginning, isn't it? It's only the beginning. And the London bombers made a terrible mistake, didn't they? Bombing on 7/7. They've united the UK and America on the one issue that threatened to drive us apart. Bloody idiot. I don't think terrorists should. I think I'm against terrorism. I think it's wrong. Thank you. I don't care how unpopular that is here. But if there are any terrorists listening, and there might be, I'd say don't do the bombing. But if you are going to do it anyway, despite what I've said, try and do something a bit useful with your bombing as well. You know, the next bombing you do, if you could make it on the 24th of July, then after that no one will be able to use the phrase 24/7 anymore.